In the first book, Theophilus, this is Luke talking. Same person who wrote the Gospel of Luke wrote this. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself as alive to them by making many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Let me hear you say, alive. 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 Yeah, that sounds more alive, all right? This week, a story came out about a private, Shamika Burridge. She was an Army private, and she had been thrown out of a car in a car accident. She was up for only a little while, only long enough to see people standing around over her. Are you okay? No, I'm not okay. I've just been thrown out of a car. Right? I'm not okay. She saw everybody gathered around her, and then she blacked out. The doctor said if she had laid there 30 more minutes, she would have died. She had access to trauma care. Amen? And when she woke up, she was grateful. She was excited. She was wondering what room she was in. And she was horrified. She put her hand on her face and her left ear was gone. And then the Army surgeons, the lieutenant colonels who are the surgeons, they came together and said, listen, this woman is 19 years old. She shouldn't have to live her whole life with a fake ear. Let's figure something out here. Hey, remember in 2012 when they had that mouse that had grown a human ear on its back? Remember that? We should see if we could do that. Except, let's not worry about growing it on a mouse, because human cells, they take better than mouse cells, so let's grow an ear inside of her. I know. And this week they announced that they had finished an operation where they grew an ear inside of her forearm. They grew an ear and finished the transplant this week. They took an ear. They took cartilage from her ribs and made an ear. From her ribs. From the ribs. Are y'all still with me? From the ribs, they took the cartilage and they made an ear. I have a question for you philosophers in the place here. Is her left ear equal to her right ear? Anybody say no? No, it's not. The left ear and the right ear are completely separate and unequal. The right ear, in fact, dominates the left ear. Would anybody say that in this room? Good. Good. But this question has confounded us over the years. Is the original ear better than the second ear? Because the second ear came next, does that mean that the first ear gets more glory? Y'all already know where I'm going. Younger siblings. Who's a younger sibling in here? Younger siblings want to know why the firstborn gets more props. My younger brother wants to know why I don't get in trouble like he used to get in trouble, right? We live in a world where women want to know why men get more props, where patriarchy rests ultimately on the Christian foundation that men came first. That's ultimately what it's about, right? Because women were made from men, from the rib. It's that moment in the garden that has given men permission to treat women as possession. God help us. It's tradition, but it ain't God. It's tradition. They've been doing it for hundreds, thousands of years, but it ain't God. It's never understood that one was in control of the other. Adam and Eve were equals. They were equals. Who was born first is a matter of circumstance. They were given responsibility over the earth together. Together, they had to do this. All humanity, regardless of gender or race or class or sexuality or height or weight or ability or mental state or your favorite kind of ice cream, everybody had to work together. The sin in the garden is not that women have caused all of this to happen to us, but it shows the danger of going at life alone. That is the point of that story. When we go at life alone, dangerous things can happen. The danger of living outside of community, the reality that our race, the human race, is weaker in isolation. When we are separated, we are weaker. Communities are weaker in isolation. If you want to weaken something, separate it. If you want to weaken something, do what? Centuries ago, this country figured that out. They figured out if you want cheap, uncontested labor, you need a weak people. We need to weaken them first. And to weaken people, you need to separate their families, either through prison or through work conditions that keep parents from eating dinner with their kids or from helping with their homework. Or why would you even bother going to school? I didn't go to school. I'm doing okay, right? You need to weaken people. Give them guns. Give them drugs like they did in Watts in 1968. Y'all know that story? A lone train car. Trains to go by every day and would never stop. And then one day, the folks came out and there was a lone train car sitting in the middle of the hood, which just happened to have guns on it. This is how guns got in Watts, California. What a coincidence. Wow. Don't talk about gun control without talking about capitalism. Without talking about possession. Possession of things, possession of ideas, possession of other humans. Say that with me, possession. Later on, ask this in the quiet time of your life. Am I possessed by my possessions? This moment in Acts tells of the beginning of the church where Jesus says, look, I'm leaving. I've done what I had to do here. I'm leaving, but I want y'all to stay right here because God is going to do something new with the Holy Spirit, and it's going to happen in you and through you. Increíble en español. Next Sunday, we are going to do Pentecost, and we're going to do it big, y'all. Come on. It was an incredible moment. God's promise being made public to the people who had been wondering, what is the intent of God? Do you ever wonder what the intent of God is in your life? Well, in that moment in Acts, God had said straight up, this is what I want to do with you. Stay here. Just stay here. Now, a divine encounter should put us in awe, shouldn't it? We should be in awe. We should be amazed by that. My goodness, I've just heard from God. But instead, the disciples ask, what about Israel? It's not a stupid question. Freedom is a real need, and those people have been struggling for thousands of years. living in a land that was not, it was their land, but it had been occupied by somebody else. It's not a stupid question. Okay, Jesus, you're going to do all this? Are you going to help my people? Freedom is a real need, but their need to possess freedom for themselves keeps them from understanding what Christ is saying. It's like a birthday party where the whole community has planned it out for one person, rented out the most lavish hall, decorated to the nines. I mean, got real gold confetti on the table. They didn't just get a band. Turn me up, Chuck. Turn me up. They didn't just get a band. They got Earth, Wind, and Fire to come play at this party. That's the baddest horn band ever. You open the doors, you see everything decorated. Oh, it's beautiful. And then you hear,
do you remember when it was last September? Love was changing.
Dancing, partying, celebrations, toasts. This is a good party, y'all, ain't it? I like this party. And then, at the end of that party, the honoree isn't smiling. What's wrong? Nobody's saying happy birthday to me. That's what this moment is in Acts. God is saying the Spirit is going to make possible the liberation of every single human. Things that you have not imagined before are going to be done. People you haven't even met yet are going to be met by your Spirit that you will share with them. And they say, right, but you're going to free us, right? You're going to free us, right? You didn't forget about me, right? You're going to sing happy birthday to me, right? In other words, this moment is about them. They need to possess Jesus. What the song say, Jesus is mine. It's my Jesus. It's my God. This is mine. They need to own this moment for themselves. But Jesus refuses them. Jesus says, stop being men on Mother's Day. Oh, yeah. You know what guys do, right? Give her a day off. Give her a gift. Give her. Allow her. Let her. We need a day to celebrate mothers. We need more days. We need to shower them with gifts. We need to do all we can. But in that situation, understand the flow of power right there, right? If men are gifting and not empowering, if men are gifting but not empowering women beyond that day, if it just, oh, for 24 hours, here's your chance to run free in the grass with your shoes off, if that is what you're saying, if it stops here, if it stops Monday morning, Julia Ward Howe is remembered as the woman who wrote the battle hymn of the Republic. She is also the woman who brought Mother's Day to the forefront of the national spotlight. She was talking in an age of war, where communities were defined by violence. In 1870, not today, that's not today, that's 1870, where soldiers were hailed as heroes but had no support when they came home broken in mind and body and in spirit. This was 1870 now, not 2018, when men had the first and the last word about war, and Julia wanted to give mothers a chance, not a Mother's Day, but a Mother's Day, a chance to speak.
Arise, all women who have hearts, whether your baptism be that of water or of tears. Say firmly, we will not have great questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands shall not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause.
She was talking back in an era where winning a war was all that mattered. All that mattered is that you won, and no matter the cost of human life.
Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs.
Something bigger than America, bigger than victory, a community not defined by our borders.
From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them solemnly then take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace, each learning after his own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, not of Trump, but of God.
Teach us, women, what it means to know God. Remind us that women were disciples and apostles and saints, that women hosted the first churches, that women can preach and pastor and lead organizations. Remind us of the glass ceiling and unequal pay and unequal status.
In the name of womanhood and of humanity, I earnestly ask that a General Congress of Women without limit of nationality may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient and act the earliest period, consistent with its objects, to promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace.
She wasn't saying, remember me with flowers, was she? She was saying, remember my voice. Remember the voice of mothers as we shape this world. Remember the mothers. When we shape our own lives, remember your mothers, the women who were and are responsible, the reason that you are. When our nation detains and denies and deports and deceives and defunds, they should be forced and go and talk to the mothers of those children afterwards. Every woman you gift today, ask also, am I honoring her the rest of the year? Am I? Does she have voice? Is she free? Is this woman I love free? James Cone said, the gospel is bad news to all oppressors, because they have defined their freedom in terms of the slavery of others. The gospel of liberation is bad news. Let me say bad news. Bad news. Let me say bad news. All right? Come on now. Cone himself realized that he had forgotten women and children and gays and lesbians and transgender people. He had forgotten them in his own articulation of black liberation theology. He repented of this throughout the rest of his life and began to articulate what he called a scandalous gospel, the gospel that was both transcendent and immanent. Those are philosophical words here. Transcendent, meaning that the gospel didn't just merely say, I'm going to heaven when I die, to shout salvation when I fly, but was also a powerful, liberating presence, imminent, a liberating presence among the poor people right now in their midst, building them up when they are torn down, propping them up on every leaning side, a good news gospel that is bad news to oppressive regimes and oppressive structures. Jesus's good news was bad news to those disciples who would claim God for themselves. Bad news for all of those who would oppress women and children and immigrants and do it in the name of God. Do you see them doing it in the name of God? They do this. I got bad news for you, though. For those that manipulate and possess human life, I got bad news, church. God is not with you. Misogynists and sexist folk who use the women of the Bible to justify the oppression of an entire race and gender. God is not with you, though. God is not with them. No, you know who Jesus is with? Jesus is with Eve, one of them bad girls who made a mistake and has been condemned by us for thousands of years. Have you ever made a mistake? And still trying to be known by something other than your mistake? Jesus is with you. He's with Rebecca, who chose to deceive when the system would make room for nothing else, because she would do anything for her family. Is there anybody here who would do anything for their family? If you had to hustle and find a way when there was no way, as Tupac said to all the ladies having babies on their own, I know it's kind of rough and you're feeling all alone. Jesus is with you. He's with Tamar. Another one of them bad girls who used her body when her own family would deny her blessing. She was not a prostitute. She was not a prostitute. But for every woman who has been shamed and is being shamed now for taking possession of your body, Jesus is with you. And with the other Tamar, who was violated and then told to keep silent, even if your own family is not with you, Jesus is with you. With Job's wife, who loved her husband so much that she could not stand to watch him suffer another minute. Curse God and die, man. And with the woman caught in adultery, cursed by society and forgiven by God, called beloved. You are beloved. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with grandma, you know grandma, yo grandma, big mama, who had to work early for a child to work. Who had to work too early for any child to work. Who had to sacrifice her childhood to support her family. I'm talking about the women who raised you, church, who didn't know much about when you came home and talked about what you were studying. They ain't know all that. And they sat and they listened to you talk about what you were studying. They say, okay, baby, you want something to eat? Okay, because they didn't know all of that, but they had lived life and they knew about life more than you could ever even think about life. They had wisdom pouring through their pores. Women who were told to stay in their place and could be nothing more than secretaries or domestics. You go get yours for them. Women who had to walk on the other side of the street and enter restaurants through the alley and couldn't see Black Panther on the first weekend because that was when the white folks went to the movies. Women who became ashamed of their bodies every time they looked in the mirror because that's what they were taught. Ashamed of their race because that's what they were taught, and still found a way to raise you. Still found a way to give birth to you. Still found a way to pour wisdom into you. Still found a way to teach us, to pray for us. You should praise God with me, church, for the women who have endured all that and still found a way to give us life. It's my favorite part of the Acts text. It's the part we read right past. It's where the women are. Emily Towns taught me how to look for the women in a text, so forgive me. I just see them all the time now. I see the women in this text, even though it says father and man all the time in there, but I see the women. It says, right after his suffering, he presented himself to them as alive. He was alive to them after all of his suffering, after the shame and after the humiliation, after they spit and mocked and beat and crucified him, he still presented himself not as dead, but as alive to them. After all that they have done to you, women, after all that they have done to you, mamas, you still say me too. You still say time's up. You still want to advocate for yourself. You still act as if God is alive. Jesus is with you. You bad, girl. You bad. And God has been with you every moment of your life. Think about that. In every single moment of your life, God has never left your side. That's bad news for whatever's trying to hold you back right now. That is a bad news gospel. It's a gospel that was written for you. And that's good news. Amen? Amen. Hear what God is saying to you in the silence.